Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Dallas is Ronnie Kahn, who's Head of Global Ethics and Compliance for Energizer. And joining us from Indianapolis is Trent Sandifer, who's a partner at TAF Law. They'll be speaking at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute, which will be taking place in Las Vegas, September 19th through 22nd. And they'll be addressing the topic, what does third-party compliance monitoring look like in real life? First, Ronnie, Trent, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Great to be here.
Yeah, great to be here.
Oh, our pleasure having you. Now, Trent, where does monitoring fit in the larger third-party management program? And what's the latest in terms of guidance from the DOJ and SEC when it comes to monitoring?
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I think you look at monitoring in connection with a larger kind of third-party due diligence management program. And you've got kind of on the pre-agreement side you've got your, and this is what I think most people probably think of when they think of third-party due diligence is, you know, you've got your questionnaires usually someone internally at the company fills out, someone at the third party will fill out. There'll be some level of analysis, some pre-agreement controls, and then a decision. And then if they're going to be approved or denied or if more information is needed or whatever the case may be. And then at that point, typically, you know, the decision will be made to move forward with a third party. Then after that, which I think is really the focus of monitoring, is what do we do after the agreement? What are the post-agreement controls, the post-agreement activities that we can do to make sure that this third party is meeting our expectations from a compliance standpoint and that the situation with them hasn't changed to the point that they're posing a compliance risk that we're not comfortable with. DOJ and the SEC both have given guidance on that. I think if you look at the evaluation of corporate compliance programs, DOJ has said clearly that how the company manages its relationships with third parties is something that is considered in making prosecutorial decisions. They look at specifically how does the company monitor third parties? Are there audit rights? Have they actually exercised those audit rights? Have they trained internal third managers that deal with third parties at the company? So clearly DOJ and its evaluation of corporate compliance programs document has expressed the importance of that. And then if you also look at the FCPA guidance that the DOJ and SEC put out, they specifically say that companies need to have some form of ongoing monitoring and that it can include updating due diligence, exercising audit rights, periodic training, annual compliance certifications, those sort of things. So I think understanding again that what we're talking about here when we talk about monitoring, it's not just looking at ongoing screening or anything like that, but it's that really looking at post-agreement, what's going on with this third party, what are the risks, and then how can we monitor the situation to collect information that's relevant? You know, how do we evaluate that information, and then how can we recommend or direct action for improvement? And again, I think we've got some good left and right boundaries from that from both the DOJ and the SEC.
You know, one other thought, just to add, Adam, building off of what Trent was saying is, you know, if you think about this from the perspective of the business owner or the person who has to deal with this third party going forward, once the agreement is signed, that's when the action begins. So, you know, from a business perspective, the idea of monitoring and how the business needs to interact with this third party are very consistent with each other. And so in some ways, the monitoring piece, although it's harder from a compliance perspective, in some ways is actually easier from a business perspective.
Well, one question along those lines, it's often a struggle to get vendors to agree to periodic audits. Ongoing monitoring can be even more of a struggle. What works best for getting them on board, both on paper and in practice?
Well, I think, when you have audit rights that are often, they're typically going to be part of an agreement or if they're not, usually that's a negotiated point. And so I think if something's in an agreement up front, I think you're able to manage expectations. So I would encourage companies to to incorporate any agreements, any type of ongoing monitoring or post-agreement, ongoing due diligence activities that they would want to engage in. I think that's one key point. And I think another one is, you know, you want to work with the third parties to make sure that while you're getting the information that you need, and that while you're minimizing risk, that you're also not overburdening them with, you know, with unnecessary monitoring requirements. So I think that there's a balance there that really needs to try to be achieved.
You know, and just thinking about that balance that Trent's describing, this is a great opportunity for compliance or legal or whoever owns this process to really partner with your internal stakeholders and create an environment where it's relatively easy, and you give the tools to the business partners to know how to interact with the third parties, how to interact with the vendors, to make this process as efficient and with the least burden as possible. And one of the things I found just at Energizer is when the business itself feels like it truly owns the risks, they're able to negotiate with the vendors and create that relationship with the vendor themselves. And it makes it easier for me because I don't necessarily have to be involved, you know, coming in after the fact or sort of separately from a different function.
It can be sometimes a challenge too, because if you've got a dynamic where there's a third party or a vendor who is much larger or has a super advanced compliance program, well, that's great in that it provides a comfort level from a risk management standpoint, a compliance standpoint. Sometimes that can be difficult too because of the power dynamic in getting them to cooperate with what you need. So I think it's something that, to Ronnie's point, that enabling your business people in your business units to be able to interact with those third parties and give them the tools they need to get that done is critical.
So Ronnie, you mentioned getting, and both of you actually mentioned getting the business unit to be a part of this. Ronnie, how can the business unit be won over to helping ensure the monitoring is in place and really working?
And that's always going to be the challenge, really, with any compliance initiative is that partnership is critical. You know, ultimately, the business owns the risks, and we're here to facilitate and coach and enable, you know, successful risk management. So I think so much of it is positioning these issues in the context of the business so we can help you reduce, we can help you grow margin, we can reduce costs, we can identify with you better business partners, we can help, you know, minimize risk and accelerate efficiency of moving product across the globe, whatever it happens to be. I think using those kinds of outcomes and those kinds of business results are often much more effective than, you know, scaring them about the consequences of noncompliance.
Finally, during the pandemic, there was a lot that couldn't be done when it comes to monitoring third parties, you know, and even the whole onboarding process was affected tremendously. As the world begins to emerge, where should compliance teams begin their catch-up work?
You know, I think the focus should be on look at what you've been able to do remote. Because again, if there's one thing that we learned from the pandemic is that business can be done remotely, and even if you've got a workforce that's spread across the globe, and I think that applies to compliance as well. But I think as we begin to emerge from the pandemic, need to look at what are the risk areas or what are the parties that haven't been able to be addressed due to the restrictions on travel and that sort of thing. And I think start the catch-up work there. Like anything else, compliance, take a risk-based approach and approach it that way. And you know, once travel opens up, don't be afraid to get out there and meet with some of your high-risk vendors and some of the higher-risk internal organizations as well.
And just I couldn't agree with that more. And as someone who started their Energizer career remotely and has never actually even been to the headquarters or met anybody that I work with in person, you know, and I suspect I'm not alone in that, you know, just rebuilding those relationships internally, again, going back to the idea of helping your business partners and creating that dynamic where they know who you are, they can trust you, and then they can carry that message forward, I think can go a long way.
Well, we're certainly going to need to do a lot of relationship building and also, you know, as you mentioned, Trent, filling in the blanks based on what wasn't there. I mean, you know, there's a lawyer I know who, when he changed law firms, I said, how was the transition? And he said, I handed in one laptop and was given another. I mean, that was it.
yeah.
It's funny to think about, but, given the risks involved with third parties, we can't afford to obviously be that casual about things. And there'll definitely need to be some catch-up work done. And, you know, as you rightly point out, some stuff was able to be done during this period, but other things not. And that's probably the best place to start. Well, thank you both for sharing those insights with us today. And I look forward to your session. What does third-party compliance monitoring look like in real life at the 2021 Compliance and Ethics Institute? Finally, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.